pastor in, and then we just going, we going to go let me over here go sit down some. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Both y'all just extra sharp today.
I was just trying to match the lady in red.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we just thank you for today, dear Lord. Thank you for prayer service, dear Jesus. Thank you for healing and deliverance, dear Lord. Thank you that your word comes alive within us, dear Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord, that you do pull us out of valleys, dear Lord. You pull us out of areas that we never thought we could leave, dear Jesus. But because we trusted in you, you pulled us right on out and up, dear Lord. So we thank you for it in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help us to walk in your boldness, dear Lord. Help us, dear Lord, to sup today in the word that's given, dear Lord. Let it come alive in us, dear Jesus, as a tool, dear Lord, to heal and deliver, dear Lord. I thank you for Pastor Sandy, dear Jesus, that he has submitted himself unto you, that he can hear from you with clarity on today, dear Lord. Let us be blessed by the word, dear Lord. Let us come expecting to heal, dear Jesus. Lord, let us receive on today, dear Lord. I thank you, dear Jesus. We bless you on the day, dear Lord. We glorify you as we stand together as a family, dear Lord. You don't just come to help when we call out, Lord. In Psalms 30:2, Lord, that we read this morning, that you don't come just to help, dear Lord, but you also deliver and heal. So we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. What's our saying, Pastor Ben? If there's no baby crying, then the church is dying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman. Okay. I'm a little on edge today because I don't know what time. I know it's a very great possibility that I could disappear. Well, no, I leave it open. Hey, y'all got the same ticket I got. So, and this is Pentecost. And till tomorrow evening, it will be Pentecost. And so I am very on edge about today. The Lord let me know that the day that the rapture is a day of joy, and he does know how to separate his feelings. He said to me he will be joyous with his family and everyone who comes to be in his presence. And he will not grieve over the people who have been left. So he wanted me to know, I know how to separate my feelings. My joy is for the people who arrive. Yes. And I will not spend a moment grieving over the people who have been left. So if you understand God, and I don't know, you know, it's like for us, it's like two things happening at one time. And God has to deal with both of them. The title of today's message is They Just Don't Believe. And that was the word given to me by the Lord. And he said, that's what I want to title today. Because human beings, the problem is, they just don't believe. They don't believe in a rapture. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe living right will benefit them. You know, and these are heart problems.
Amen.
These are heart problems. These are not These are problems that exist in the hearts of human beings.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to get that out of the heart. The process of delivering somebody is really delivering their heart.
Amen.
Drea was saying this morning, you know, about dreams, and I said, well, you can't believe every time you dream something, you can't go, oh, I wonder what that means. Sometimes you just dream weird stuff and just leave it at that, right? You don't even want nobody to know you dreamed that. But one vision that the Lord did give me was this. There was a big yacht. And before everybody could go out on the yacht, they had them all in a room like this. And they're telling them, welcome to whatever tropic island they were on. And they wanted them to know that it's going to be a wonderful day out in the water on the yacht. But understand that these waters are heavily shark infested. So do not think about jumping off the boat, even if we're at a standstill, to go for a swim, okay? Because I'm letting you know that our waters in this part of the world are shark infested, okay? So they all go out and they get in the boat, and you can see this one kid about 21 or 22 just looking at the water, and he is amazed how blue the water is. And he could even see little fish swimming through. And he began to think, I don't see any big fish. I just see those little ones swimming around. And boy, he put his foot in the water and it was so warm. He was like, wow, the water is even warm in this part of the world. And so he dove in. And the captain came out and said, what is wrong with you? Get out of the water. And he's swimming further, further away from the boat. And they're yelling to him. And even some of the workers on the boat are yelling to him, get out of the water. And he's just swimming back and forth. Very good swimmer, though. And finally, a chopper flies over. And his chopper says, hey, you get out of the water. We have spotted sharks in this area. Get out of the water. So they throw the kid a rope. They pull him out. And they pull him back onto the boat. And they ask him. And they say, why would you do that? You were at the meeting. We told you that this is a very high-level place to be for shark attacks. So why would you jump in the water? And he said, oh, the water just looked so beautiful. And then when I touched it with my feet, it was so warm. I thought I'd just jump in for a minute. But then, you know, I just figured, you know, I'm a good swimmer. So I thought I'd swim out a little further. So they, you know, gave him a talk and sat there and you know, gave him words like, don't ever do that again. Even the helicopters could see there were sharks in the area. So he's sitting there again. And people are looking at him like, that's the crazy kid that jumped in the water. Next thing you know, you hear a splash. He jumped in the water again. So they're yelling at him, get out of the water. The helicopters come up. The sharks are even closer. Get out of the water. The captain is sitting there eating a sandwich, drinking his soda, and would not move. And everyone wanted to know, why aren't you helping? He said, there's some people you just can't help.
That's true.
Some people just want to jump in the water, and I've been doing this long enough to know that I can't panic off everybody that decides they want to jump in the water. And the Lord was just letting me know, people decide to live the lives that they live. There's no sense in you doing a big cry fest.
Right.
You've already done one or two over that. Sometimes you have to say, you know what? They don't understand. They don't believe. I got to pray for their heart to change. Because if their heart don't change, they'll always have a rebellious heart. And even though they have moments in which that's what human beings have, we have moments of clear thinking. And we go, I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I think I want Jesus. But then you sit on the edge of the boat and the water looks good again. And you're thinking about, wow, I don't think anything will happen. I'm just going to jump in for a minute. Well, the second time they did not pull that kid out, but they did watch him go down. Half of them that way with a shark and half of them that way with a shark. And the Lord was like, I want you to know why. Every time people jump in the water, there's no guarantee they're going to get back on the boat.
That's right.
So you have to understand, once you get saved, stay on the boat. We know you didn't listen the first time and you jumped in the first time. Okay. But once I pull you out, stay on the boat. They're infested. They're dangerous.
Yes.
Okay? And so we don't really understand what it took for Jesus to save us.
Amen.
And I mean, we are really people that God had not even met yet, but there were people there on that day that he was dying for that were spitting on him. There were people there that were saying bad things about his mother, which, you know, in my neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, fighting words.
They were saying bad things about his mother.
Yep.
And he's on the cross saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yes.
And so to go through what he was going through was a lot.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
God had me taste a little bit of it, because to lose all your friends in one day and for this to happen to you,
yeah. Yeah.
God says, you read about it. Now you know how I felt, because you never had been deserted by everybody and in this position before, but now you see how I felt, okay? And rather you can't feel the pain of the nails, you can't feel the anguish of standing there and trying to breathe, you can't feel all that, but I let you feel a part of it. The rejection and the abandonment of everybody that you loved and you had spent years spending time with them. And God says, now you know how it feels. You only read about it. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, before we get into this study today, because the Lord wants me to tell people, like, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know spiritual things. You don't know what comes after life. You don't know what comes after the flesh. You don't know what you're doing. You understand?
Right.
You think you do, but you don't. I've told you what happens after you leave this flesh. You don't believe. So you dibble and dabble in and out of sin because you really don't believe.
Amen.
The problem is, because if you could go and visit and stay in hell for 3 or 4 days with the pain, you would believe. If the rapture could happen and you're left and you see what they're doing to you for a good week, then you would believe. But since you can't experience it, you won't believe somebody telling you. The Lord said that kid did not understand what he was doing was going to end being ripped apart separately by two sharks going in two different directions. But they'd already talked to him. They'd already pulled him out the water. But he doesn't see. He doesn't really understand. Maybe he'd never seen nobody get attacked by a shark before.
Right.
He didn't understand. He thought, this is still something I can play with.
Right.
You in Isaiah chapter 53? I'm going to grab my glasses here. We're going to get into some deeper stuff after this, but I want you to see what Christ did for us first, okay? Isaiah 53, it starts off by saying this. Who has believed our message? I like that. That's just like my vision. Who has believed the message? I think after the talk that they had with all of the people about the sharks in the area and how you could die if you jump in the water, I think after they should ask, now who is there anybody here who has not believed the message? Because if you haven't believed the message, you can't get on the boat. So the first thing God wants to know is who has believed our report, okay? Because this is what has happened. It says, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up, talking about Jesus, before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrow, familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God. Now, he took up our sicknesses. Listen, he took up your infirmities. Listen what God is saying. While he's on the cross, he's taking up your sicknesses.
Yes.
Because you might need healing for all this stuff.
Yes.
I'm gonna take up cancer. I'm gonna take up this. I'm gonna take up that.
Yes.
I'm gonna take up all of these ailments that men could have.
Yes.
I'm going to take them all up on me right now.
Yes.
Then it says, and he carried our sorrows. So now emotionally, he's carrying your grief. Your worst grief time that you've ever lived, Christ is absorbing it. So he's on the cross. And his sacrifice, one of them is a sacrifice for your soul, for your emotions. So God has to not only die for your sins, he's dying to relieve you of any emotional pain, any physical pain. He's dying for all of this because you guys don't understand. The cross consisted of five sacrifices that Jesus has to complete you. And if he leaves out even one, then you're not completely delivered.
Wow.
So there's five, okay? And so he has to complete all five of these sacrifices in what he's doing. That's why he didn't drink the wine when they tried to put it in his mouth, because he had to be a burnt offering. And a burnt offering means he has to suffer in fullness. He has to be completely consumed. Then he had to feel the sorrows and the griefs, because in life, you're going to go through sorrow and grief. And he's doing this because when it happens, if you call him his name, he can heal you of that.
Yeah.
People who have been mentally messed up said, I'm in my right mind. Oh, Rachel Gould, who sings on one thing, and I hope I didn't mess up her last name. She sings, but she gives her testimony about her life. And let me tell you something. When God heals you, he heals you. She sings beautiful gospel music, beautiful family. And if you heard her testimony, you never know she went through it. You know why? Because Christ is on the cross dying for everything.
Yes.
I knew you wasn't going to have a dad, so I died for that emotion. To heal that. You understand?
Yeah.
That won't bother you. Why? Because I am going to come into you and that will be no problem anymore.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So Christ is on the cross, and he's doing this not for everybody in the future, as he says, but he's doing it not only for everybody in the future, but he's doing it also for the people standing around spitting on him.
Yeah.
This is this incredible person. I'm telling you, I got to meet him. Okay, sorry. I would say we got to meet him. Okay. He says, we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions.
Yes.
He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. God put in that body all your iniquities. You pay for all of this. You don't know what he was feeling on that cross.
Amen.
I don't want to know. Because I don't think any of us could bear what he was feeling on the cross.
Yeah.
Because when he looked out, guess what? All his friends were gone.
Oh.
You understand?
Yeah.
And it says he was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wound, we were healed. We were all like sheep who have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was he any deceit in his mouth. So he's completely innocent. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him. It was God's will to get this done. Because you know what? If we're going to save the human race, we got to either do this right or not do it at all. Everything that they could possibly go through, you have to experience on that cross. Because when they need that, you need to be able to heal that.
Yes.
So don't tell me what God can't heal.
Yes.
Or what God won't bring you out of, okay? So, because God can do all of that, if you put it before God, he'll do something with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? So I'm just letting you know, God did all this so that he can have the power to do what you need.
Yeah.
You understand? Sign the grave with the wicked. It said, verse 10, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, that's one of the offerings on the cross. Did you know that?
Yes. Yeah.
Jesus had to complete the guilt offering.
Yeah.
So when you sin, what does God tell you to do? Repent, confess your sins, and he is just and will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Then after that, what are you supposed to do? Get back to work. You know what Satan wants you to do? Feel guilty about it. But if you feel guilty about it and you can't, I can't get out of bed because of what I did. I just don't know how to carry on. How could I do something like that? Then you're saying the guilt offering didn't work on you. That means somebody else is trying to feed you guilt. You understand? Because God says, I already know what you did. I already forgive you. Get back to work.
Right.
Go do what you need to do to be better.
Yes.
I don't need your guilt.
Right.
Satan is giving you that. You need to feel bad about that. Oh, that was horrible. Keep that with you. Then they'll bring somebody to remind you. You know, Satan will send somebody to remind you. Sometimes it could be your own spouse. Remember what you did? God's like, don't do that. Satan already got that job. That job's been filled. Putting guilt on people has already been filled. Forgive and move on. You understand?
Yeah.
Forgive and move on.
Amen.
Part of love is he forgets all wrongs. Part of God's personality is he forgets all wrongs. You do not have to worry about getting to heaven and God go, psh, I remember some stuff you did.
Right.
You don't have to worry about getting to heaven and hearing that. Do you know that?
Amen.
Guilt offering was paid for you on the cross.
Yeah.
Ask forgiveness, trust God that he's forgiven you, and move on and get better.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
It says, as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. Who's his offspring? Us. He will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. After the suffering of his soul, that's his emotions, right? He covered us, man. He will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore their sins, the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus on the cross in full pain, agony, with the sorrow of losing every friend while nails are in his hand and he can barely breathe, is thinking about you. Because you know what? He's God. He could have came down. Remember they said, come down from the cross. He's like, I could. What if I did? Yeah. But he didn't come down. They tried to give him, here's some, the wine that they used to mix with this certain plant would have numbed him, because the women used to give it to people who were being crucified. He wasn't the first person. The Romans started this crucifixion thing, and he wasn't the first one. So the women in the area used to mix this leaves with this wine and would give it to him, and it would numb their bodies so that they don't feel the pain while they're on the cross. That was their way of being kind to them. They tried to give it to Jesus, and he goes, nope. I got to be a complete burnt offering up here. I have to feel this pain to relieve you of your pain later. So understand what Christ is doing. Now, why is Christ doing all this? What is so strong that's coming that he has to make sure that not only he saves you, but gives you the power and the strength and the healing to be able to get saved and stay saved? And then once he saved you, he puts his spirit inside of you to remind you when you're walking away from him.
Right.
What would make God want to do all of this for people he don't know?
Tribulation.
Let's look. Tribulation would be one of them, but someone told me a long time ago, there's some people in the tribulation that would give, no, there's some people in hell that would give trillions of dollars to be able to go through the tribulation. Because you know why? They get to get out of hell for 7 years. So that place compared to tribulation, see, people are like, oh, I'm so scared of the tribulation. God's like, that's not the main thing I'm trying to save you from.
Right.
Some people are going to go through the tribulation and survive it and end up in heaven.
Yep.
So that's not the big thing. The big thing is, the title is, they just don't believe. You don't believe there's a hell.
Right.
You don't. People don't believe it. Daniel used to come into me in prison and tell him how he got shot, died, came back to life, visit hell, came back to life. He would tell those kids. Only half of them would believe. The other half, like, I don't believe in jail. I don't believe in hell. Okay, I don't believe in China. I've never been there. Because that's what they would say. I've never been there, so I don't believe. Daniel go, okay, I don't believe in China. I've never been there either.
Right.
But, you know, don't make it not there. But he said, I've been there. And you're going to see that it's real, right? Okay. I'm going to the book of Enoch. If you have a phone and you want to follow me, I'll tell you what scripture I'm in. If you don't, you can listen. But I want to give you a great description of what's going on in the earth realm. I want to tell you guys something. It's worse than you think. The restrainer's holding back the bad part. It's worse than you think, okay? This world is a very vicious, evil place, but it's covered. And it's in a place where you don't get to see it all unless you investigate it, okay? Let's read the scriptures and then we'll get started. Okay, you guys ready? I'm in Enoch chapter 16, verse 8. And it says, and now the giants who are produced from the spirits of flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, and on the earth shall be their dwelling. Okay? So these fallen angels, they have children by women, and these children are being born to women and fallen angels. They become spirits upon the earth, and God says they're evil spirits. Okay, so just listen to it. Try to listen to it close so you really know what the scenario is, okay? And it says, evil spirits proceed from their bodies. So when they die, when the children of fallen angels die, evil spirits come from their bodies. Okay? And it says, evil spirits proceed from their bodies because they are born from men and from holy watchers, is their beginning and their primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on the earth. Evil spirits shall they be called. For the spirit of heaven and in heaven shall be their dwelling. But the spirits of the earth, which are born on the earth shall be their dwelling. The spirits of the giants afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. They take no food, but nevertheless, they are hungry and thirsty and cause offense. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against women, because they have proceeded from them. You understand?
Yeah.
So when the child of a Nephilim dies, his spirit has to stay here on earth. And they live on the earth. That's why there were Nephilim before the flood and after the flood. You understand? Their place is here on this earth. You understand? Now, this begins a whole new war against humanity. So if you want to know how wars get started, this is how they get started. If you want to know how so many random shootings just happen, this is how it happens, okay? Because, you know, years ago, God had me studying MK Ultra, and I'm studying all these people, and they're telling me how they get them ready for a certain time to have a trigger word, and by the trigger word, they go and commit the act that they've trained them to do for their whole life. And he says, this happened in Miami at the gay club, this happened in Vegas, this happened at schools, this happened all the time, and they're usually MK, I wouldn't say usually, almost all the time MK Ultra raised to do what they're gonna do. But we look at it and we go, oh, we gotta get rid of guns. And they go, good. See, if we can get them to get rid of guns, this is what we want, because then the humans won't have any weapons to protect themselves. And you're like, okay. So you tell somebody that, and you know what they go? Sure, Pastor. Okay. You tell someone, I'm sorry, but the Nephilim that planned 9/11 was our president. And you go, you mean George Bush wasn't human? Matter of fact, they'll tell you he was a Christian. One guy arguing me all night, telling me George Bush was a good Christian man. And I'm like, you a nut. Said, don't call me no more. That is crazy. So I sent him the video of him in the classroom with the kids. And I was like, how does he know this is going to happen before it happens? How does he have these kids saying plane must hit steel before it happens? And he's in a classroom and 30 minutes later it hits the steel. And then he goes to the site and says, oh, we're going to get these people. And then you find out he has 9 businesses with the guy. He has 9. The Bush family had 9 businesses with the Bin Ladens.
9
separate businesses with the Bin Ladens. And one of them was the Hercules Company, which sold them the anthrax. So all this stuff is going on, and we're like, you know, isn't TV is wonderful? La, la, la. They're warring against us. Do you understand?
Yeah.
2020, you were getting warred against. They're organizing and warring against human beings because they are the evil spirits that are in this world. And we'll see how in a minute, okay? I'm going to try not to talk so much because I got a lot of reading to do. Okay. Chapter 17, verse 1. It says, and they took and brought me to a place. So Enoch says, God took him and brought him to a place. This is called Enoch's journey to the middle of earth in Sheol. It says, they took and brought me to a place which those who were there like flaming fire. And when they, make sure I'm supposed to be reading this part. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to be reading that part. Here, I'm going to read 2. It's in 17 verse 6. It says, I proceeded and saw a place which burned not day and night, where there are 7 mountains of magnificent stones, 3 toward the east and 3 toward the south. So God takes him to a place where there's flames day and night, okay? And it says in verse 11, I saw a deep abyss with columns of heavenly fire among them, and I saw columns of fire fall, which were beyond measure, alike toward the heights and toward the depths. And beyond that abyss, I saw a place which had no firmament of heaven above and no firmly founded earth beneath it. There was no water upon it and no birds, but it was a waste of and a horrible place. I saw 7 stars, great, burning and the mountain on the mountain and to me, and when I inquired regarding them, okay? I'm going to finish that. Okay. The angel said to me, this is the end of heaven and earth. And this has been a prison for the stars of the host of heaven. So all of the host of heaven, God had created a place where they could be tormented and burned. Okay. So he takes Enoch to show him, I've created a place to be a prison for fallen angels, okay? So, it says, and the stars which roll over the fire, and they have transgressed the commandments of the Lord in the beginning of their rising, because they did not come forth at their appointed time. And he was angry with them and bound them till the time when their guilt should be consummated, even 10,000 years. It says right here, Uriel said in chapter 19, Uriel said to me, Here shall stand the angels who have connected themselves with women, and their spirits, assuming many different forms, are defiling mankind and shall lead them astray into sacrificing demons, sacrificing to demons as gods. So this is the part I want you to understand. These are the spirits, okay? And their spirits assuming many different forms. You understand? Their spirits assuming many different forms. In the book of Enoch, it says that an angel could turn into a human being at will. Say, for example, I'll say this part. The Bible says, be careful when you're entertaining strangers. Some of us have entertained angels unaware. They can still do it. You understand? Angels can still do it. These angels, just because they were fallen, still had the ability to change forms. Okay? So you need to know and understand that these demonic spirits that are left on the earth, and these demonic spirits that cause wars and do all these things on the earth. Ronald Bernard said, if these Nephilim didn't exist on the earth, he said there would be nothing going on. He used to be a top guy with the bankers. He said nothing would happen if they didn't exist. But Satan asked for sacrifices. So since Satan asked for sacrifices, that means that these people set up the sacrifices because Satan is requiring sacrifices. Then he says 9/11 was a sacrifice. That's why we built the buildings in the form of 11. But we don't understand this. We think that we're just living on earth and things happen. You don't understand you're being warred against.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ already knew this while he's on the cross, because he's dying on the cross because he knows you're in a spiritual war. So he gives you Ephesians and he says, when you wake up in the morning, study your word, read, prayer, put on the full armor of God, know your word. Because he knows you're in a spiritual war.
Yeah.
But since you refuse to believe it, you wake up and just go about your day and you never include God. And since you don't say nothing, the angels think you're okay. Drea wakes up and gives commandments. Thank you, Father God, for this day. In Jesus' name, watch over my boys. Watch over the members of the church. Lord, in Jesus' name, do this. And Lord, in Jesus' name, don't forget about that. He's giving, now God's not coming, but he's got these angels because he's the head of a military army. And they're, as Drea's saying it, they're like, go. Okay, you go. You go take care of that one. But see, we don't believe that. We think like, prayers are just like me babbling and then God don't really hear me. No, you say in the name of Jesus, let me hear you make a commandment in the name of a general to an officer and watch them not respond.
Right.
They know better.
Right.
So we have to understand you're in a spiritual battle. You're supposed to be studying. You're supposed to be arming yourself with the word of God. You're supposed to have a shield of faith on. And God is telling you there's more going on here than you understand.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, now watch this part. I want you to hear this part. It says, the women also of the angels who went astray shall become serene upon the earth. You know what serene is? They will become Delilahs. They will become seductives, temptress. They will use their bodies for seduction, lust, and this. Okay? That's the spirit that is over. Some people say it's a Jezebel spirit. But it's the spirit that says, by me dressing this way, I can get attention. God never wanted women to do that. Your body is not for everybody to see so you can get attention. That's called, he says, that's the spirit that came upon the women, the spirit of Serene. And if you look up mysticals of the Serenes, it's always some woman statue, sexual, and you have to understand all these behaviors that we think that are just human, they come from demonic areas. You understand? You at home with your husband, fine, do what you want. But you don't have to go out dressed like that.
Right.
You know, you definitely don't need to take 20 pictures and post them everywhere and let, you know, leg out. Because it comes from somewhere. You understand?
Amen.
Every man ain't healed.
Amen.
So when you go to church, go to church like every man ain't healed.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
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 All right. I'll continue on. It's okay. Let me turn over here. I'm supposed to continue to read. Okay, here we go. A. It says, and I proceeded to where things were chaotic. He's showing him hell. And I saw there something horrible. I saw neither heaven above nor firmly ground beneath, but a place of chaos and horrible. And there I saw seven stars of heaven bound together in it like great mountains and burning with fire. Now, when he says he saw seven stars, he saw seven fallen angels there burning. Okay? And they're burning because God has created a place for them to go because they're born on earth. They can't come back to heaven because they've been disobedient. So God has he built a place to keep them. Let's continue. It says, and he said to me, this place is a prison of the angels, and here they will be imprisoned forever. Then it says in 22 verse 3, it says, these hollow places have been created for this very purpose, that the spirits of the souls of the dead shall assemble therein. Yea, these are the souls of the children of men should assemble. So now he's starting to cast the children of men into this same place because they died in sin. Listen, it says, these hollow places have been created for the very purpose that the spirit of the soul of the dead should assemble therein. Yea, that all the souls of children of men should assemble here. 5. I'm in 22:8. Then I asked regarding it and regarding the hollow place, why as one separated from another? Why is one part of Hades separated from the other? This is before Jesus, y'all. And he answered me and said unto me, these three have been made that the spirit of the dead might be separated. And such a division has been made for the spirit of the righteous, in which there as the bright springs of water. So in Hades, he has a separate area for people who die and go into paradise. This is before Christ. This is before the first resurrection. You understand?
Yes.
And then he says, and here the spirits, and in this other part, he says, here the spirits he set apart in this great pain till the great day of judgment. So the other side, first he separates it into three. This part is for the people who die and they're righteous. Then there's this goat fix. It's separated in three. And he says, and this part is for these people. It says, here the spirit shall be set apart in this great pain till the great day of judgment and punishment and torment of those who are cursed forever, and retribution for their spirit. They shall be bind, they shall bind them forever in this place. So he's letting you know, look, this place has been built, the place has been built for torment for humans that die, who die evil, and there's a place for humans who die in righteousness. You understand? And he's got this place, and it's in the center of the earth. And then you get to Luke, and you say there was a very rich man, and there was a beggar, and the beggar died, and he went to Abraham's bosom. And then he said, and then the rich man died, and when he died, he went into Hades, and being in great torment, he said, being in great torment, he said, he saw Abraham, and he said, have Lazarus dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue, for I am being tormented in these flames. And they say, a fix, a great fix is between you and them. No one can come there that's here, and no one that's here can go there. Now, Christ told this, and it's the only parable that he told that he mentioned names. So this, he's telling you about a real place that exists. The Bible told me about hell before Daniel got shot and died and went to hell and told me about hell.
Yeah.
But the Bible had already told me. You understand?
Amen. 8 minutes, Pastor.
That is perfect. Okay. Then, of course, you have in Matthew 27, when Jesus dies and resurrects, he takes all the good people out of the middle part of earth and take them up into heaven, right? That's us. No, no. That's the Old Testament saints. So you have the old, because you have the Old Testament saints. They died. They couldn't go to heaven. Why? No door is open. The door opener has not come yet. So you got to go to the good part of earth that God provided. And so now Jesus dies on the cross. He resurrects. And he says, when he resurrects, tombs break open. And the bodies of many Old Testament saints came out of the grave and went into the holy city, into heaven, at the exact time they were supposed to. Our exact time right now is Pentecost, which is today till the evening tomorrow. So I'm saying, look, people don't, and they don't know and understand scripture. They don't know and understand God is real. They refuse to believe what you tell them is truth, is really happening. I tell people the truth, but they don't believe it. George Bush was a wonderful man. I'm like, you nuts. Let me see if that's where I end. That's where I end with that. Let's go. Book of Daniel, it says this. In the end times, it says, they will mingle themselves, Daniel chapter 2, verse 42. They will mingle themselves among the seats of men. Who are they? Nephilim spirits. They will mingle themselves among the seats of men. How are they going to mingle themselves amongst the seats of men? You guys, I'm telling you, I've seen some things. I don't share things with you guys. I shared something with Drea this morning, but I didn't. At first, it took me a while before I shared that with her, because I don't know if everybody can take all of this. I think God gave me a brain to be able to look at it and take. There's an actor, very famous actor, that we know that is 100% Luciferian and all of this stuff. He had a girlfriend, they were dating, everything, they go together. And then one day, she gets, while he goes away on vacation, she gets stabbed to death in the apartment that him and her have together, right? And he's like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. What could have possibly happened to her? It's a sacrifice. It's like he met this regular girl who thought he was a regular guy. And then they asked him for a sacrifice. And he said, okay, how about my girlfriend? And so this happened. Now, I knew what was going on. And I'm trying to tell people that guy's a Nephilim. I said, how do you know? If you look at his lifestyle, you'll see everything about him is satanic. Okay? This happens all the time. This is all now, all of these pastors that we think are great pastors, you know, we think, well, they may be bad pastors, but they're not evil people. Now I'm finding out they're beyond bad pastors. They're evil people. They're evil people. And it's going to come out in a little while. I already watched the thing. It's going to come out and people are going to be shocked. Okay? But you guys have to understand, Satan is the god of this world. Demons are here on the earth. They can take the form of many different things. Plus, then they're cloning and putting these spirits inside of clones and giving them handlers to watch over them to make sure. So it's a lot of stuff going on that you have no idea. I'm trying to get out of here because I don't want to be here. Because what is being held back because of the Holy Spirit is going to be revealed during the tribulation. So Jesus is on the cross thinking about you. So he gives you Luke chapter 21, and I'm going to go there because I got to read it. And I want to say it right. Luke chapter 21 says, be careful or your heart. He's talking to Christians, right? Watch this. Be careful or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation, drunkenness, carousing, and the anxieties of this life. Be careful that none of that pulls you away from Christ. He's telling Christians, be careful that even the anxieties of life don't pull you away from God. Yeah. Why? Because there's a lot more going on here than you think.
Amen.
And whether you think it or not, to be true, hell is real.
Yes, it is.
And don't think that God is in heaven crying over people who are in hell. God is being joyful with the people who made it in. You understand? You guys really have to know and understand. There's spiritual rules that govern what's going on here and governs what goes on when you leave here. And when you leave here, reality and eternity becomes your reality. And wherever you're at, you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You might get a judgment day, but I guarantee you, from Hades to the lake of fire is probably no fun.
Amen.
I don't think the lake of fire is swimming day. So I'm trying to tell you truth, okay? Because you don't. Now, God will tell you in Deuteronomy 28, if you live right, I'll bless everything that you have. I'll bless everything that you do. If you live right, I will bless your coming in, your going out, whatever you put your hand to, I will bless if you live right. Then he says, then the second half, he says, oh, by the way, if you decide to live wrong, nothing you do will work. Everything, the cursing will follow after you everywhere you go. And if you decide to live wrong, you will never have a blessed day. You'll have some days that ain't as bad, but you'll never know the blessings of God.
Amen. That's true.
Amen.
Amen.
So God is telling us how to succeed in this world.
Yes.
And then there's Satan. And he tells them, if you live for me and bow down, I'll give you all the material things you need. I can't give you a blessed life, but I can give you all the material stuff you need. And so you got many humans who want to be famous that say, I'll take the material things and I'll do whatever you want. I'll pledge Freemasons. I'll do these things, all these things. And we have to know and understand this is a spiritual battle. I was hoping the rapture happens right here today.
Yeah.
Empty building, right?
Yeah.
empty building. And then the door, then the Spanish church don't show up either.
Right.
And people just wondering who left the building open and just. Listen, rather you believe it or not, the rapture is a reality. Okay?
Yeah.
7 years of tribulation is a reality.
Yeah.
Hellfire is a reality.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Your walk with Jesus and your relationship with Jesus is reality.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's all a matter of what you want to do with it. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's all a matter, and it'll show by your heart. It will show by your heart, because if you love sin more than you love God, you're going to find a way to sin.
Yep. That's true.
And God's going to see you the way he saw Lucifer, because he said everything was going well till he found iniquity in his heart. Okay? God said, wait a minute, this person has iniquity in his heart. You understand? He has a heart to do evil things. I always ask God this, give me a new heart.
Amen.
Give me a heart that desires to follow you.
Amen.
So that I won't sin against you.
Amen.
Change my heart.
Amen.
Change the way I think.
Praise God.
I don't want to be that person anymore.
Amen.
Listen, heaven is absolutely wonderful, beautiful place. God has let me see it twice. And I say twice, it's been more than twice, like three, four times, but three times were in the same place. And the last time was in a different place. But God let me see just a glimpse. It's a beautiful place. You can't describe it. Beautiful. And I'm like, wow, Lord. And he's showing me stuff. And so I know what Jesus has for us is real. He said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you so that you can be where I'm at. Why? Because you're not going to be in a physical body all your life. And I need some people there with a resurrected body like me to hang out. And so your future's been planned, but never wake up and tell yourself that no spiritual war is going on. There's a war going. Drea, the girl said Joe Biden was, and see, we could say Joe Biden. She said Joe Biden was there at all of the meetings too. So your president is a complete part of that whole corruption thing that's going on. Including a lot of pastors that she says are also a part of that whole corruption thing. And I'm not going to name them because she has her thing and she says she's named some, but she says she's going to name the rest. Okay? And I'm going to let her do that. And the Lord told me, let her do it. But you better know a lot of pastors that people follow are doing some very evil things. A lot of politicians that people love are doing some very evil things. Okay? And a lot of them are not human. A lot of them are Nephilim, okay? And so we better know and understand what we're dealing with. And stay in your word. Stay close to Jesus. Because you know what? The end of this is Christ coming back on a cloud with you behind him, taking over and saying, you know what? This is my earth. I paid for it. I paid for the people. And then when he sets up a 1,000-year millennium, then after that, 8,000, no more counting. And your future is beautiful.
Yeah.
Spiritual war is going on right now.
Amen.
But we're about to desert the war. That's what apostasia means. It means we're about to desert the war. We're gonna abandon the war. You know why? Not that it's not still going on. Jesus is pulling us out.
Amen.
The war is still going on, but I'm pulling you out.
Amen.
Okay? Stay in Christ and be aware of what's going on. Don't believe everything you see and get emotionally caught up in everything you see. Because they put a lot of stuff on TV and they know it's propaganda, okay? Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.